Bibles this morning, 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, sorry, 1 Peter. Well, I'm trying to jump us way ahead there, aren't I? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Loving life, before we even read our text. You ready? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want to say a few things. And I don't know that this applies to any of us. I think most of us do this pretty well. Those of you that are joining us live on Facebook on the live stream, we want to welcome you. And maybe this is for one of you this morning. I hope you love life. Now, that doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean that we don't have obstacles to overcome. It doesn't mean that, you know, I was just talking with Doug this morning, and we were talking about the fact that as we get a little older, things change in our bodies. Have you noticed? Oh, yeah. Doug made the comment about, well, some go gray. I said, well, some go gray, and some of us, the hair just goes, you know. Some of us, you know, we become a really good level. We really become level in life because we get that bubble in the middle. Yeah. Some of us, we battle physical things. I don't know. Here the last few weeks, I don't know why, but just the simple walk up the stairs to the platform is bothering me because the right hip's just giving me problems. It just, that leg just doesn't want to move right there like it should. But you know what? In spite of those things, I love life. Amen. And I think everyone who wants to be a Christian, wants to be a follower of Christ and have that relationship with Christ, we need to learn to love life in spite of the obstacles. As a matter of fact, how many of you know that the obstacles are what makes life interesting? Amen. Why don't you stop for just a moment? If there in your life was totally 100% perfect all the time, wouldn't that be boring?
Yes.
Think about driving down a highway that has no curves, no hills. It's just straight, flat, doesn't deviate. How many of you ever driven down a road like that? Yeah, Kansas is all flat. I mean, you think I'm joking. The highest point in Kansas is a little mound of dirt covered in sunflowers in the middle of a field. No, that's, I've looked that up. I've read the list. The highest point in Kansas is a dirt mound in a field covered with sunflowers. Seriously. It is the highest elevated point in the state of Kansas. It's flat. I always give Betty a hard time about the roads to Kansas are all closed. You know, they just put a bump, speed bump there. Those drives on those streets, they're boring because nothing changes. And can I tell you, in life, if we didn't have obstacles, if we didn't have things to overcome in life, life would be boring. Amen. We need to learn to love life. So I want to show you what Peter says about how we as followers of Christ can come to love life. And what's really interesting to me about this is that he has spent from chapter 1, verse 1, and we're now in chapter 3, around verse 8. He's talked about suffering. He's talked about submission. He's talked about overcoming things. And he gets here and he starts to talk about loving life. We're going to back up a couple of verses here where we covered the last week or two just to set the stage. In verse 8, he says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. And now he starts to quote from the Psalms. He says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is I want you to know the repetition of the word must. Go one more, please. Now, if you're in a different translation, you're going to say, I don't see the word must there. Okay, I'm reading out of the NIV. The word must is there. But can I tell you, no matter what translation you're reading out of, the emphasis taken out of from the original language is that what Peter is talking about are things that he's emphasizing to us, that it is something that is required and is an obligation. It's not optional. I mean, some of us get it in our minds sometimes that, man, it'd be great if I could just live life according to my own rules. I didn't have to listen to anybody. How many of you know that that really doesn't work? There's always got to be somebody in charge. There's always got to be rules that have to be followed. Otherwise, what ensues is total chaos. Any of you here like to play checkers? Any checker players like to play checkers? How many of you know there's rules to follow in checkers? Yeah. There's only one way you can jump until you get a king, and then you can jump both directions, but you still got to stay on the right color squares, and you can't take a king and make him a super king. And you know, there's rules to be followed, because if you don't follow the rules, you're no longer doing what? You're no longer playing checkers. You're playing something. We don't know what it's called. How many, do I have any chess players in here? I like to play chess. The bishop has to stay what? On his own color. The queen can move any direction she wants in any color. The king can move any direction, but only one. The pawn can only move straight ahead unless he's going to capture. Then he moves diagonally. There's rules to be followed. And if you don't follow the rules, you're not playing the game. You know, life is a type of game. And if we're, I'm not talking about the game of life that you buy at the store. I'm talking about life in general. And you know why some people aren't having any fun and not enjoying life and not loving it? It's because they're not playing by the rules. You see, this game that we call life, God created it and God made the rules. And a lot of people want to make up their own rules and then they get mad at God because it's not going very well. Well, in His Word, places like this in 1 Peter chapter 3, here in verses 10, 11, and 12, he tells us, here's some things you must do if you want to love life. Here's some things you must do if you want to enjoy life. Here's some things you must do if you want to enjoy and win at life. Now, some people would say this, though. They'd say, but Pastor, doesn't that, aren't those rules done away with because we live under grace? That's one of the fallacies that's being taught out there. Oh, we're on this side of the cross. We live under grace. We don't have any commands to follow. Can I tell you that? And yesterday I put my notes together and I had this ready. And I don't remember. I was doing something else. I wasn't even there looking at my notes. And all of a sudden God just dropped this one in on my thought. When we fully understand grace, what it means, we sang about it this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When we fully understand grace, we will realize that we do not live as we want, we will live as we should. I'm going to give you that in a minute. I see some of you writing that one down. I'll give you permission to share that with others, but it'll cost you $5 every time you... No, I'm kidding. I know some people like to take credit for those things. That's not your pastor's idea. This is what God laid into my mind yesterday, and I went back and added it to my notes. When we really fully understand this wonderful gift of grace that God has bestowed upon us and given us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we have forgiveness for our sins, when we fully understand grace, we will begin to realize we no longer live as we want. We are happy to live as we should. If you're not winning at life right now, you need to take some time to get alone quiet and answer the question honestly to yourself, am I living as I want or am I living as I should? And if you're living as you want and not as you should, then you need to change. Because without changing, you will not learn to love life. So let's see what Peter says about what are some of the things we need to do so that we can truly learn to love life. He quotes Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16 here, and he emphasizes these things. Number one, we need to avoid evil in both words and actions. See, I've encountered people that they never really speak in a way that's considered evil, but they just don't behave very nice. You ever met someone like that? The really difficult ones are the ones that want to talk really nice and sweet to you, but behave badly. Or what's even worse, and I guess we could call them hypocrites, are the ones, they want to speak a lot of churchy language to you, but they don't act on it properly. We need to avoid evil in both words and actions. And if we're talking about the words, we must grow from being truth seekers to being truth speakers. You know what's lacking in the world today? Let me rephrase that. You know what's lacking in a lot of our churches today? People who are willing to speak the truth in love, even if it hurts and offends. Now, notice I said speak the truth in love. Now, sometimes, how many of you have learned in life that sometimes love has to be tough? Love, sometimes love is going to sound harsh. Okay? Joyce, how old are your two grandsons? Approximately. 3 and 6. Now, I want you just to imagine that they're visiting here, you here in Clayton. And they've come to church with you. And you've walked out to the parking lot and you're standing out there talking with somebody. And let's say the 3-year-old, remind me of his name because I'm terrible at name. Kaylana. Kaylani? Kaylani. Kaylani suddenly breaks free and he's running straight for First Street and there's an 18-wheeler coming from this direction. Not speeding, just coming normal speed, but Kaylani runs out there. Are you going to stand there and say, Kaylani, dear, would you please get back here? No. Kalani, come out here, stop! And there are some that would say, oh, Grandma, that sounds so harsh. You were mean to that child. You're not being mean to that child. You're trying to save that child's life. It may have sounded harsh. It may have sounded mean, but it was the most loving thing you could have done because if you'd have said it's syrupy sweet, Kalani, darling, please stop. He wouldn't have listened. We have people that are headed to hell around us. And I don't walk up to them and say, you're headed to hell, do you know? No, but you need to sometimes speak the truth in love. Look, you're ruining your life and you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not living out His best for you. Could you please change the way you're living? It may sound harsh, but it may be the most loving thing that you could say to them. Now, there's a time and a place to be pleasant. And I will say that some of us in this room and some of you listening, we probably need to do it a little more often. Thank you. But I have also encountered people that got it in their mind that they just needed to always talk sweet and syrupy, lovey, kindly, lovey-dovey, sweet to everybody. And I said, the problem is, if you never confront with the real truth, all you're going to do is love them right into a devil's hell. We don't want, see, some of you sitting there, you don't like that. I don't want to hear about hell. Don't talk about the devil. I'm not saying it to be harsh. I love you enough that I hope we all do everything we can to avoid hell and get as many people out there as we can to avoid hell because it's a real place. And it wasn't created for us. It was created for Lucifer and those angels that followed him. We need to not only be truth seekers, which is what you do when you come to. It's what you do when you come to Bible study. You're seeking truth. You're wanting to know what the Bible says. And it's good to be a truth seeker. But when you leave this place, you've got to learn to be a truth speaker. And we speak that truth in so many ways. But it also says we must avoid evil in our actions. We must grow from being evil shunners to gospel do-gooders. That's an old-fashioned term you don't hear much anymore. But then again, I'm old. It's not enough to say, I'm going to stop doing the wrong. You've also got to replace that with something and start doing the right. You see, that's where we get into so much of a dilemma so many times. We think if I just eliminate certain bad things from my life, I'm going to be okay. But the problem is when you remove the negative, it leaves a vacuum and a void. And you had better fill it up with something good pretty quick, or the devil will come back and he hates you enough. He'll come back with more negative than you got rid of, and he'll cram it into that space. It's not enough to say, I won't do that anymore. You got to fill it in with doing something good. Stop being just an evil shunner. Stop just shunning evil and sitting. Now say, Lord, what do you want me to do that's good for the kingdom of God? Amen. If every one of us would just allow if we would pay attention to what God is wanting us to do, and we would just do one more good thing for the kingdom of God a week, what kind of an impact would we have on this area for God? Let that one soak in for a moment while I get a drink of water. If we would just allow ourselves to pay attention to the nudging of the Holy Spirit and just do one more good thing for the kingdom of God than we're doing right now, what kind of an impact would we have on this community and the surrounding area? And it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It might be something as simple as being willing to stand down at Ranch Market for an extra 10 minutes and talk to somebody who's hurting or that's lonely. And if you're, how many of you like me, usually when you go down to Ranch Market, you really are just wanting to get your stuff, get in, get out, and get back home. You know, the other day, I went in there and I wanted to get in, get the stuff, get home, and start getting some supper fixed, because Tommy, I was hungry. And what I wanted to fix, I didn't have everything at the house, and my wife was working. I just wanted to get my stuff, get home, and get cooking. I had a phone call before I could even get out of the van. That took about 15 minutes. Then I went in and I ran into people wanting to talk. And Joanne, they wanted to talk and they wanted to talk. And I probably stood in the store for 20, 25 minutes with people wanting to talk and talk and talk. But you know what? My willingness to not get frustrated and just talk to these people, both on the phone and in person, I don't know what the eternal results will be, but I have to believe that it had some kind of an influence on somebody, that I might have just said one little thing that might have been a turning point in their day or their life. It wasn't enough for me to shun doing wrong things that day. I had to be willing to do something good. And you know what? Betty, when I do those things, I love life a little more. Next thing Peter tells us is this. He says, you must learn to pursue peace. We need to grow from being just peace lovers to being peace seekers and pursuers. You say, what's the difference? I can say I love peace and sit back and do nothing about it. How many of you know what yesterday was, by the way, besides my family, besides Saturday? How many of you were unaware that yesterday was National Brownie Day? Yesterday was National Brownie Day. Now, I love brownies. And we could have sat there all day talking about the fact of how we all, my family, love brownies. By the way, how many of you love brownies? Like brownies? I don't see all those hands going up. You know, some of you don't like chocolate? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you know what? My wife decided she was not content to sit there and talk about how much she likes brownies. She decided to pursue brownies. She got up, went to the kitchen, and made us a pan of homemade brownies. And we had some last night with ice cream. And Joanne, it was good. You see, many of us sit around and we talk about how we want to have peace in our lives, peace in our homes, peace in our church, peace in our job, peace in our town, peace in our state, peace in our nation, peace in the world. And we love it and we talk about it. But Peter says, if you want to love life, you need to get up and start being a one who pursues and seeks out peace. It's not enough to say, I wish there was peace on my job. You need to maybe go to a coworker and say, you know what? I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for the way I behaved. I'm sorry for the way I acted. This is ridiculous. Let's just forget about it, forgive, get over it, and let's have a peaceful working relationship. Some of you may have family members that you have not communicated with in a long, long time. Don't you think that maybe it's not enough to sit back and say, I wish I could get along with them? Maybe you need to do the right thing and get on the phone and say, you know what? Whatever we've been arguing about, it's been silly, it's ridiculous, let's forget about it, and let's finish out our years having at least a somewhat peaceful relationship. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, your family's perfect probably. You don't have those things. No, believe me, we've had a couple of different family members. One of them is now passed on. We've had a couple of family members. We went several years without talking. And you know what? When we finally got back together and were forced into a situation where we had to talk with them, all of a sudden we realized, you know what? It's been silly to let that hang on all those years. Jesus Christ says, if you want to love life, it's not enough to just love peace. You need to pursue peace. You need to seek after it. Every situation you come across in life, every relationship, you need to seek peace. Now, that doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to become super close buddy buddies again. How many of you know that? But seeking peace means that you don't allow bitterness, anger, hatred, regret, or any of those things to take root and grow up. You know what? You just say, you know what? Let's put it aside. Let's put it under the blood of Christ and let's just call it over and done. And let's have peace when we're together. Want to love life? Become a truth speaker. Become a do-gooder for the gospel of Christ. Be one who seeks peace and pursues it. I love that word pursue. I love that word pursue. Peace is not easily caught, is it? Peace is not easily found. Peace is not always an easy environment to create. But when you pursue something, you go for it. You don't give up. You don't start out and then quit. You don't say, well, as soon as it gets hard, I'm done with it. You go after it harder, 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 no matter what comes your way. We live in a world today. We live in a world right now where peacefulness is hard to come by. It is a valuable commodity because people allow themselves to get offended too easily when, in all honesty, you know what? You and I don't have to agree about everything. My wife and I don't agree about everything. I love her enough and extend enough grace to her, I let her be wrong once in a while. And she lets me be wrong once in a while, okay? Now the question is why? Why should we do all this? Well, Peter tells us that we will experience lives full of God's blessing and favor. That's one of the things that it means when it says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's looking out for us. He's looking out for you. Have you ever been in a situation? How many of you have younger siblings? Younger brothers or sisters? Or maybe a younger cousin. And when you were kids, you were kind of the older one. And you were put in charge and you were told, keep an eye out for them. Look out for them. Make sure they don't get in trouble. Yeah, remember those days? My mom and dad, if they were here, they would tell you that a lot of that happened with me and my brother was my fault. I was 8 years older than him, and I'd wanted a little brother so long. There was times I would go to do something. I'd say, well, I'll take him with me. And my mom and dad would say, are you sure you want to take him along? Yeah, it's good. I'll take him with me. You know, Little brother, you're preaching this morning up there in Wyoming. I assume you're preaching, or your wife. So you aren't seeing this, but the truth is you were very spoiled as a young child, and it was partly my fault. But I kept an eye out for you. When it says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, He's looking out for you. There's nowhere you can go. There is nothing you can do that God in Christ has not got His eye on you, looking out for you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, 12 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to hurt you, plans to give you hope in the future." God is looking out for you, but He's only able to truly act upon it when you decide you're going to do those things we just talked about, those things that He says you must do. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel good to know that my Heavenly Father is looking out for me. It doesn't mean that danger hasn't been present. It doesn't mean that things haven't happened. I've had plenty of times when I had to endure through it, but even in the midst of the traumatic event, it was comforting to know, and I could still love life because my Heavenly Father had His eye on me. And I'll tell you some of the things that we've endured as a family at times. We've had to look and say, you know what? It was bad. But if we didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how much worse might it have been? Yeah. The other thing is, though, when it says that the eyes of the Lord are upon us, I want you to think of that we experience God's special attention and presence. I want you to think of the phrase that says, you know, that caught my eye. Now, husbands, I'm giving you a chance for a good making brownie points right now. How many of you men would agree with me that lady you're married to her or engaged to her because at some point she caught your eye? Uh-huh. Yeah. In God's sight, you are very special. Zechariah 2:8. I pulled this one phrase out of there. It's talking about God's relationship to Israel, but I think we can apply it to all of us. It says, "For whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye." What does that mean? That means in God's sight, you are a very special person and He loves you dearly. Why should I want to be all these things we talked about a while ago? Oh, because you know what? God has His eye on me and I'm special in His sight. You need to realize that. When you start to realize how special you are in the sight of God, it's a lot easier to love life no matter what comes your way. Amen? And then, here's the third part of it. We will experience God's answer to our prayers. Peter says, His ears are attentive to the prayers of those who do these things. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing and listening? If I ever doubted that, which I haven't, but if I had ever doubted that, those doubts would be gone after this time of teaching in the school for the last few weeks. There is a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing means that sound waves came from someone's mouth, went through the air, into your ear, hit the eardrum, and vibrated in there, and you acknowledged in your brain that there was sound. That's hearing. God does not just hear your prayers. He is attentive. He listens and gives attention to them. Because listening means that the sounds came in, got to the brain, and I made my mind focus on them to try to understand what it is you were saying. And that's what God does with our prayers. How many of you know that we all need to get better at learning to listen to people just for the sake of listening to what they have to say? What do most of us do? What do most of us do, or a lot of us are guilty of? We only listen waiting for them to stop so we can interject something. Charlie? Isn't it hard for some of us to listen without responding? Yeah. Some of us, would you just finish your story so I can fix this for you? Did you know a lot of times people, when they come to you and they want to talk about whatever's going on in their life and bothering them, did you know in all honesty, they don't want you to fix it? They don't want a solution. They don't want you to hear the problem and fix it. They want you to listen to them so they can unburden themselves. You know, when we go to the Father, He doesn't just hear our prayers and then scold us for it. He listens attentively, waiting for us to finish so that then, as we exercise faith, He can then begin to work on our behalf and assure us. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when God answers the prayer, He kind of gives us all the details as to why He answered that way, and other times He doesn't? And yet, when we look at how He answered it, sometimes we don't need an explanation, because all we need to know is that He loves us, He was attentive to our prayers, and He took care of the need in the best way possible. You want to love life? I don't know about you, but I do. You see, God gives us here the secret to truly loving life. It's Him and living for Him. You will encounter people that do not live for Jesus Christ, and most of the time, they, if you get them to be honest, you'll find out a lot of them, they really don't love life. And that's to be expected, in all honesty. What really concerns me is when I meet people who tell me that they are a Christian and that they're living for Jesus and they don't love life. That's the problem. Can I tell you, if we'll begin to follow through on these things that are no longer, that are not optional, they really are something we're required to do. If we'll begin to do the musts that God's Word puts down before us, God doesn't do it to cramp your style. God has no desire to make life miserable. If we follow His rules, His directions, life becomes great again, and we can love life. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through something difficult, I like knowing I have somebody to lean on, somebody I can talk to that's going to help me through it. I don't know how people who don't serve the Lord get through difficult situations. I can understand why sometimes they don't love life. If we will do what He's called us to do, we will love life. Amen? Amen? Want to start loving life more than ever? Stand with me this morning. By standing, what you're saying is, you know what? I'm going to try starting right now to get better at doing the musts. I'm going to do those things. I'm going to go back to what, I'm going to look at what Peter said in those verses. I'm going to try to do those things because I want to love life. Here's the cool thing. When you start to love life, it starts to influence the people around you. Now, I'll give you warning. Not all of them are going to be happy that you love life more, because the more you love life, the more miserable they're going to feel. But that's all right. You keep loving life and praying for them and loving them, and eventually the goal is that they will realize their need of Jesus Christ and they'll begin to live for Him and they will begin to learn to love life. Amen? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord Jesus, I ask You to right now drop into all of our hearts an incredible, outstanding amount of love for life around us. In spite of anything we may be going through, Lord, I know there's some, Lord, we're going through financial difficulties. Some are going through physical difficulties. Some are going through emotional problems right now. But God, if we will focus more on You than we do those things, and we will follow through on what You have told us in Your Word to do, Lord, I know that You will restore to us a love for life that can not only change us, but change those around us. So, Lord God, as we leave this place, let our love for life be evident to those around us. And when they ask us why we're so happy, why do you seem to love life, let us be quick to tell them it's all because of Jesus and what He's done for me. May we be witnesses for You in all we say and do. And we'll give You praise and glory for it right now. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Go out and love life.